This show is produced and hosted by Mark Weber. The show is sponsored by G3 Apparel and the Van Heusen Company. The views expressed in the following program are those of the sponsor and not necessarily the opinion of 710 WOR or iHeartMedia. Who is Mark Weber? He's a self-made business executive here to help you find your success. From the New York City projects to the Avenue Montaigne in Paris, his global success story in the luxury world of fashion is inspirational. He's gone from clerk to CEO twice. Mark is classic proof that the American dream is alive and well. Here's your host of Always in Fashion, Mark Weber.
It seems like a thousand years. And at night, na 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 na, late at night, na 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 na, late at night, I sit and count the tears.
This is Mark Weber, and I've been counting every day since this nightmare began. I'm hoping I'm not going to have to count years. The sickness, the death is unfathomable. Where are we? There's the isolation. 81 days and counting for me. The loneliness, the sadness. Truth is, I'm beyond lonesome. I'm not even sure what to call it. All of us were searching for the light at the end of the tunnel. It's our nature to be hopeful. If I've found any solace at this time, any moments to be optimistic, for me, it's been the time to think and reflect. Slow down, think about what's really important in life. I'm biding my time, staying safe, counting my blessings. I'm thinking about thinking and time. Time is the only commodity that doesn't replenish itself. And yes, we're losing it, but thinking is not a waste of time. Thinking how to use your time wisely is smart. You can plan, prepare, position, create, enjoy. This downtime in itself, a gift. I'm the first to admit it's hard to envision because we humans in our nature, we're always rushing for the next thing. We're counting the days to the next something rather than enjoying them in the moment. I can't wait. How many times have I said or thought that? I think back to my children when they were born. Certainly one of the happiest times of my life. We held them and we wondered, when will this baby turn over in its crib? When will he start to crawl? When will they walk? And before we knew it, before we knew what hit us, there was preschool. And then, in the blink of an eye, poof, they're out of the house and in college. We're rushing to be sad. When is? I can't wait. And now we're sad. My career was never enough when it was enough. At every stage, I wanted the next rung on the ladder, the next promotion, the next something. I'm always counting the days, pushing the future. I'm thinking as I look back, I just didn't enjoy the ride enough. Now, maybe that's why I had some success, but where did the time go? I was with my wife for a lifetime. We counted life in terms of events. Now she's gone. I wish I could slow down time. But maybe, the bright light when we count the days for an end to this plague and a return to what we should have had and should remember as paradise is the gift of thought. And I'm thinking about thinking. Yes, once again, I'm counting the days. I'm staying at home. Today, isolated, concerned, fearful, sad, no end in sight. 81 days and counting. And I'm counting the days and it's not fun. Perhaps this is the first time in my life I should be rushing to the future. We're all struggling for joy, for laughter, for a new beginning, or return for what was our lives. And I've been thinking, what should I be thinking? Counting the days for the world to come back to what it was? Aren't we all? However, I've decided what I want to think about, and it's not the future. Whatever the future is from this virus, this is not what I want to concentrate my energies on. Tonight I want to think back in time. I want to think about the good times. I'm not in a personal mood, though. I don't want to talk about family or the joys of family. I want to talk about business. After all, this is a business show first and foremost. Yes, it's rooted in luxury and fashion, and we do talk about life, but I want to slow things down. I want to return to the good times. I want to remember being happy. What was most important? I want to take a moment to enjoy those accomplishments. The ones that I rushed through, counting the days for something else to happen. I want to stop, smell the roses. I want to stop in the name of love. I want to enjoy tonight. I just want to be happy. If you stay with me, you might enjoy a happy evening for a change. You also might learn some important lessons. You too might be inspired to take a moment to turn back that clock with me. Slow it down. Think about the good things. Speaking of good things, counting the days, more important, counting my blessings, my son, co-host Jesse Weber, the other half of this father and son team. Hey, Jesse.
I'm sorry, do I know you?
What do you mean?
Who are you?
I don't get it.
You've been so depressing as of late that this guy who I'm hearing tonight who wants to reflect on happy times, this is not the person that I've been used to these past few weeks.
Yes, I've been down. We all are. But I believe I've made depressing interesting on the radio. Don't you think so?
Well, look, I could use some fun. I could use some happy stuff on the radio, so I'll take this.
Not so fast. Because before we go to the once upon a time route, where I want to go back and enjoy the time, we have to deal with this week in Trump. And this was a big week. My apologies to everyone. This is always fun, even though it's not fun.
You don't have to give apologies. It's always fun when you do this.
Well, here's the plan, okay? Just so everybody's on the same page. I want to have a happy show. I'm going to tell you business stories. You just sit back, you listen while we count the days. But first, this week in Trump. Biden? I'm always giving Trump advice. What about Biden, Jesse?
Biden needs advice, okay? This guy Biden needs advice. You want to talk about going back and slowing down? That's Biden. I still think he thinks he's like in another century. You know, I thought it was bad enough when he made that weird comment about his hair standing up at the pool. And then this week, he says the most outrageous, crazy comments I've ever heard him say. And I've never seen anyone who is an expert at getting in their own way. He is purposely derailing his own campaign, and it's really bad, but entertaining to watch, to say the least. And there's not a day that goes by where he isn't apologizing for something.
Well, I want to recount to you this story. You know, I always said, when I get older, just put me in a corner, let me babble on, put a golf club in my hand and tell me I had a great round of golf that day. I think we got to find a corner for Biden somewhere in Washington. Tell him he's the president. Make sure he's wearing his little American flag button. Say, good evening, Mr. President. How are you? Or today, how are you, Mr. President? Leave him alone. Let him think he's president. Somebody else run.
I did it. I beat him. I beat Trump.
Well, anyway, let's go to Trump. Mr. President, I've noticed you've not been wearing masks. What's with the mask?
Marco Polo, great question about the masks. Constantly being asked, why am I not wearing a mask? You know, I've given a lot of thought to the mask. Look, frankly, I'm a very cool guy. A lot of people saying it, probably the coolest. And I can't be seen wearing this surgical mask. But masks are weak, okay? Even if we all wear them, the virus will end on its own. It's going to go away. It's just going to disappear. That's what's going to happen. Who's number one? Superman. Superman is the greatest in terms of strength. He's the strongest in terms of strength. He doesn't wear a mask. He wears a beautiful red cape that matches my beautiful red tie.
That's funny, Mr. President. Listen, I don't even know where to go with that, but I'll tell you what I do want to do. I want to take your side right now. I want to talk to everybody about you this week from the CEO angle. Nobody leaves this man alone. He is attacked for every single thing you could possibly do. He'll wake up in the morning, say good morning, he's going to get attacked. This week he was attacked for not reading. They're making it seem like he has no attention span and he doesn't even know how to read, and they're referring to intelligent briefings. And I have to say, you're all wrong. Not only is it unfair, it makes no sense. I'll tell you why. I, too, was a CEO of two companies. And let me tell you something that you should know. I was the toughest person in the world to brief. You think he's tough? I promise you, I'm tougher than him. Maybe if you come to brief me, maybe I'd give you 60 seconds. But 60 seconds in, I know why you're there. I know what you're trying to cover. I don't want to be briefed. I don't want to read. I don't want to hear everything you have to say, because most times people don't know how to get to the point. They don't know what a straight line is. They just don't know how to get there. I know. I'll make it clear it's your meeting. But I'm busy and I'm fast. And I'm going to control the way it is. I don't believe in notes. I don't believe in long-term reading when it comes to what we have to cover. I want to hear what you have to say. I will learn what it is you need me to learn while you're talking. And then more times than not, before the end of that conversation, I'm going to know as much as you, or I'm certainly going to come up with the answer. I have to tell you the story, Jesse, about my boss buying me a briefcase.
Let me guess, you didn't use it.
No. My boss buys me this nice briefcase from T. Anthony on Madison Avenue. Oh, no, Park Avenue. T. Anthony, very classy store, bought me this beautiful briefcase. And he said to me, "Wherever we go, Mark, I want you to carry this briefcase. I thought of you, and I thought you should have it." I said, "You know, I've noticed you never carry one. Why is that?" He said, "Because I have you." Listen, the point of this is, when I had my meetings and I had someone download me, speak to me, explain to me, I ask a million questions. And as I said, by the end of that meeting, I know what's going on. I don't take notes because I want to frame it in my head. Once it's in your head, it's there forever. I don't forget anything. And that's a very effective way to manage. And with all due respect to all you naysayers out there, give the president some credit here. I guarantee you, as a CEO, he's pressed for time, he knows what he wants to accomplish, and by reading brochures and reading packets and documents is not to get him to remember it. But getting the right briefing, he will. And again, it's not about the details, it's about the big picture. Anyway, I don't think they treated him fairly, and I wanted to cover that, because as a CEO, he's a CEO, that's the way you do it. And some of the best I've ever worked with, they don't take notes. They sit there, they listen, they learn. But before I go there, I have to say one more thing about this week in Trump. Now I want to take the side of those politicians in the Democratic Party that don't want to see the president elected again. And I want to give you some advice, although I don't agree with you. You are handing the president the election. Yeah, you're handing him the election. You know why? Because he's smarter than you. Do you know why? You want to talk virus? I'm going to tell you the virus. I am crazed after this weekend. I am insane. I saw tons of people gathering. I drove by the beach. I couldn't find parking. It was so crowded. I walked up and I took a look. I ran out of there. Everybody's sitting on top of each other. At our golf club, it was all party time. People everywhere. It was insane.
You know what my favorite is? When they wear the mask under their chin. So it's like, what are you wearing the mask for? Or they wear it just over their mouth and not their nose. It's not a fashion item. It's supposed to cover your face. You can't, the second you take it off, you're asking for trouble.
But here's the point, and why I'm talking about it on the This Week in Trump. President Trump, with his doctors, with his advisors, came up with shelter in place. And for the last 8 weeks, the country closed down and sheltered in place and accomplished what we were supposed to accomplish. It is now clear we have to open up the country. We have to get back to business. The problem is, all of you mutants, you're not unlike me. I can't stand being indoors anymore. I want to go out. But they specified the rules of engagement. Because if we're not safe or we don't feel safe, this is going to get worse. The economy won't get better and people will get sicker and sicker. So those of you out there, you Democratic governors, and those of you out there who are objecting to the president's direction and his doctor's advice are making an easy path for the president to be elected. Because he's simply going to say, correctly so, I saved us. I put us in a position that the country was on a plan to recovery. We gave the responsibility to be managed by the governors. Everyone knows the rules. Shelter in place. If you go out, wear a mask. Wash your hands. Stay the distance. If you're not feeling well, don't go out. But stay the distance. And everyone's behaving like the virus is behind us. So now, the death toll is at 100,000 people. Wherever it goes, Trump is going to say, hey, I told you what you needed to do. And now no one's listening. Those of you who are Democrats, just go out and prove your independence and prove how smart you are. And you're going to see when time comes, he's going to simply say, if you would have listened to me, we would have been beyond this. With that as a backdrop, tonight is a fun show. I got the unfunny stuff out of the way. I hope you found that fascinating. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back. We're going to go on memory lane. I want to go back and count the days.
Always in fashion.
This is Mark Weber. We're living in strange times. There's no question about it. We're regrouping. We're rethinking about what our lives look like. We're working from home, and that is a new phenomenon. What has changed is that we are video conferencing. We're being seen when we're working from home. In the past, we did our jobs when we worked at home. We called in information. We sent emails. Today, we're being watched. We're all there. We're having video conferences, and we're being seen. One of the biggest mistakes you could make is forgetting that you are in a workplace, different workplace, but you are working and you're being seen. Because you're at home, competition in the workplace has not changed. You are competing. You are trying to prove that you are special and you deserve the best that your company has to offer. With this in mind, I think about my friends at Van Heusen, one of the greatest shirt makers in our history, in our life. They've been around for over 150 years. Not only do they make great shirts, it's a given that their quality is exceptional, their fit is perfect. But they look right. When you're sitting in front of your computer and showing your image to your boss, you want to look your best. You are competing for all the great things that life has to offer, even though you're at home. It's important to be with a company you can trust. It's important to be with a company that makes products that know what is right for the times. It'll make you look your best. That is Van Heusen. I spent so many years working for the company. I know their dedication. I know how they look at fashion. I know how they look at style and how important it is. Whether you're wearing a dress shirt with a tie, whether you're wearing a dress shirt open at the neck, or you're wearing an obvious sports shirt, indicating who you are, how serious you are, how professional you are, and it doesn't matter that you're at home. With this in mind, Van Heusen, one of the great shirt makers ever, is here to help you look your best in this unusual time working from home. Van Heusen, great shirt company.
Welcome back to Always in Fashion. Here's your host, Mark Weber.
Did you hear that lonesome whippoorwill? It sounds too blue to fly.
Considering that the name of the show is Always in Fashion, I've decided I want to talk about fashion tonight. Now, in general, this show is a throwback. I don't want to talk about the current events of the world. It's too depressing. I want to go back to happy times. I've realized being at home, I'm giving some thought to what's going on, and my entire life is one rush after another. My whole life, counting the days to something else, I've decided to go back tonight and focus on things that I found fascinating, interesting, and I enjoyed. And tonight's an easy night for you guys. Just sit there in your cars at home and hear me tell stories. Maybe they're funny, maybe they're not. Maybe you're going to learn something. But I'm going to make it easy for you. Now, considering fashion, why not? And of all things, I want to talk about JCPenney declaring bankruptcy.
Hey, before you do that, can I interrupt you?
You already did.
Good. You talk about fashion, I've been meaning to get to this. This weekend, a fashion new one for me. I saw you tucking your sweater into your white pants and having a belt around your pants, not even in the loops. What was that about? You had a belt wrapped around you like a karate belt.
Trendsetter.
Trendsetter? Trendsetter? That looked like a four-year-old got ready in the morning. Always in fashion.
What's the purpose of a belt?
What's the point of belt loops?
Good question.
That's what I'm asking here on Always in Fashion, the fashion segment.
It's very relaxing. What can I tell you? I want to rip down my pants, my bathing suits on. Easy.
Well, I'm glad we're getting a little lighter. I'm sorry. I had to throw that in there. I saw you do it. I wanted to bring it up on the show.
Well, I'm glad I entertained you. Well, are we going to have an Instagram one of these days?
We are. We're actually in the process of launching it. I think people are going to like it.
Well, maybe we show them a picture of how I wear my pants.
I think that's a great idea. You know what? I think that's a great idea. You want to talk about Always in Fashion? Let's see what people think of that.
Yeah, let them vote on whether it looks good or not.
We'll do a little survey. Fashion faux pas, fashion nouveau.
Fashion trendsetter.
There you go.
Hey, I can set the trends. I know what I'm doing here. All right, back to business here. JCPenney declares bankruptcy. I've talked about this in the past. JCPenney was founded by a guy named John Cash Penney. Brilliant. Brilliant. He found retailing in America needed value. Great quality, great value. John Cash Penney, when he was going to hire an executive of importance, he would take them to lunch. Not because he was hungry. You'll hear why. And over lunch, he'd watch them eat. He observed them. As the story goes, he noticed people salting their food. However, if someone salted their food before they tasted it, he wouldn't hire them because he thought they were prejudging the food. And he didn't want anyone in his company to prejudge the decision making, and therefore he wouldn't hire those people. I thought that was a fascinating story. I always find it interesting. JCPenney, when I first started working, they and Sears were the two biggest retailers in America. In fact, at the time, they were the only two national retailers of consequence. There are others that have disappeared since then that nobody out there would ever remember their names. So I'm not even going to go there. But JCPenney and Sears were the leaders, and they lasted the test of time. JCPenney in particular was amazing. JCPenney had a catalog. Jesse, you ever buy from a catalog?
No, I wasn't born in the 1940s.
Well, if you notice around here, nor was I, Jesse, but the catalogs still come to the house. Catalogs were the precursor to the internet. They were the precursor to online shopping and e-commerce. It was a way to get to people in their homes. Sound familiar? And they did billions of dollars. They were huge. They were huge, and it worked. As time went on, of course, the internet changed everything. And of course, the cost of paper became so prohibitive. And the cost to send books that are 2 inches thick to millions of people got to the point where it made no sense when you could do one online. But JCPenney was there. They were one of the best. But they went wrong. And it wasn't the virus. The virus is a convenience for all these retailers in America to declare bankruptcy. Now, don't get me wrong. Nobody wants to be in a position of declaring bankruptcy. But when you look at JCPenney, J. Crew, all these companies going bankrupt, there's a reason. And it's not the virus. The virus accelerated it. JCPenney lost their way. And it really came down to just not understanding the customers, not having the right assortments, the stores looking tired, not appealing to whoever is out there shopping. Now, I will also tell you, a lot of competition came on. TJ Maxx came on and had a better value. Walmart came out of the blue. Online shopping came out of the blue. All these companies invested in fashion, which is JCPenney's core business, and all of it came into the fact. But if you ask me, they didn't stay great. They didn't stay at the front of the curve. They lost their value. They lost their quality. They lost their fashion. And they no longer were relevant. But that's not the story I want to tell you, because as I said, I want you to enjoy tonight's story. I met JCPenney when I was very young in the business and learned to admire them. And we treated JCPenney as one of the most important retailers in the world. So I learned, I admired, I spent time with them, I got to know them, and I was impressed. Fast forward a number of years, I became the president of the company. And I had been the president of the Van Heusen Company twice. I took a sabbatical after the first time and came back in. And in the second time, as the story goes, the company, Larry Phillips, the CEO, and the president and the management of the company made a decision to sell J.C. Penney the Van Heusen brand. And at the time, the Van Heusen brand was so powerful, it was in every major store in America, and J.C. Penney would do anything to get it. Now, distribution was changing, the world was getting complex, people were opening their own stores, we had our own outlet stores. As department stores consolidated, they were putting more pressure on every brand, and the ability to make money was getting more and more difficult. It was getting impossible, and at that time, Larry Phillips, in his wisdom, made a decision to sell the Van Heusen label to Department Stores of America at the risk of losing his premier distribution. And in so doing, he cut the first deal of its kind for a large volume brand going to JCPenney with a guarantee. And JCPenney, going back 25, 30 years ago, guaranteed $100 million worth of business to the Van Heusen Company if they would sell their brand there. So all in, it was the right decision. Except, you want to guess what the Van Heusen Company did at the time, Jesse?
No idea.
It's a great story. That's why I hope you're all there listening, holding back. This is Always in Fashion tonight. I'm on the fashion component. I'm talking about JCPenney. I'm talking about the past when it was a happier time for all of us. I don't want to talk about current time, but I'm talking about JCPenney now. And Van Heusen made a decision to sell JCPenney, got a $100 million guarantee. And what they did was as follows. They misjudged JCPenney. They took advantage of JCPenney at the time. You see, let me take a particular category if I can explain it to you. At that time, a plaid shirt suggested retail value was $25. In order to really sell a lot of them, the out-the-door prices, as it's called, was $14.99. So in order for you to sell a lot of shirts in Macy's, those plaid shirts, you would have to sell it to them for $7, and they'd sell it for $14.99, and pre-ticketed at $25. So they brought it into the store for a week, and they put it on the floor for $25, and basically sold none of them, and then started promoting them like crazy and sold a billion shirts at $14.99, and everyone was happy, because Van Heusen selling them at $7 made a fair profit. Macy's selling them at $14.99 made a fair profit. Everyone was happy. Except, I show up in my second tier as the president of Van Heusen and find out now that we sell JCPenney. So I was enthused. The head of sales comes to me and says to me, Mark, we have to share with you the great lie. What's the great lie? We're taking advantage of JCPenney and nothing is working. What do you mean? I said, when we made the decision to sell JCPenney, even though we got this guarantee, we felt that they were very lucky to have our brand, and we felt it was an opportunity to make a lot of money. Please explain. So let's take flannel shirts. You know those flannel shirts that we pre-ticket at $25? Sure. Well, we sell them to JCPenney at $12.50. I said, wait a minute. If I remember correctly, we sell them to department stores at $7. He says, Mark, your memory is great. We do. And the department stores sell them at $14.99 and make a ton of money. Well, we sell them to JCPenney at $12.50, and therefore they put them out at $25. Are they selling them? He says, that's the key question, Mark. The first order we got from JCPenney was for 450,000 flannel shirts at $12.50, and we made a fortune. The only problem is they put them out at $25, and after 6 months, they only sold 6,000 pieces. I said, what? Out of 450,000, they only sold 6,000 pieces? He said, yeah. So what's going on? Well, they came to us and asked us to help them mark them down. give them a price reduction so they can put them on sale and compete with Macy's at $14.99. We said, no, we don't sell Macy's at that price. You paid $14.99. Okay. So now what's the problem? You see, Mark, you just showed up. It's 6 months later, and now we're going in to sell JCPenney again. And all they want to buy is 6,000 units. Larry Phillips, our chairman, is expecting us to sell 450,000 units plus a little increase. All they're buying 6,000 units. And I said to myself, you know, these sound like Midwesterners, very amicable people. They believe we're giving them a fair price. They don't want to pressure us. They don't think it's in the spirit of the agreement. They're trusting us. So they're basically saying, you know, we'll accept whatever price you tell us to pay, but we're going to buy whatever we want to buy. And if all they feel is they can sell 6,000 units, they're only going to buy six. Well, this $100 million agreement turned out to be $20 million when I showed up. That's all they were going to buy. I said, well, why are you telling me? And does the management of the company know? Does Larry Phillips, does our president know? No. Why is that? Nobody wants to tell him. So I said, let me get this straight. I just showed up. I'm the new president. I got to go tell Larry Phillips that JCPenney isn't working? Yeah. That sounds like fun, doesn't it? This thing isn't working. This $100 million deal with JCPenney is a fallacy. It's a pipe dream. It's not going to happen. They're not buying anymore. The company took advantage of them. You thought they were stupid. They were country bumpkins. They didn't understand. So I set up the meeting for Friday. I have a package in my hand. I sent it the night before. Show up in Larry Phillips' office at 2 o'clock that afternoon. He's the CEO of the company.
Wait, were you nervous, by the way?
You're always nervous when you go and see the boss. You're always nervous. And I'm just showing up. And on this case, nobody told him the truth. For whatever reason, all the executives were afraid to tell him the truth. They didn't want to tell him the truth. And lo and behold, I just get renamed for my second stint as president, and I got to go and do this. So I go there Friday afternoon, and I start to present. Hi, Larry. How's it been? I hope you had a chance to read the JCPenney document. And he stops me cold. He says, how dare you come into me with this document? How dare you? We put this together. We took a year to put this deal together. It was brilliantly crafted. We have a guarantee of $100 million. They're going to live up to their end of the agreement. And that's all there is to it. And I am astounded that you would present this to me. I can't tell you, Mark, how disappointed I am. And he says, you know what? We're not having a meeting. You go back and you make this work. It's Friday afternoon. I'm flabbergasted. I can't believe what just happened. I go home and tell Mommy, hey, I'm in trouble. She says, I explained to her what I did. I told her the president told me to put it in writing. And she says, it sounds like you were in trouble, but I wouldn't worry about it, Mark. Easy for you to say, Sue. I'm the one who has to go to work again, you know? So I went home that Friday night. I saw my career passing in front of me. It was one of those miserable times in my life for telling the truth and trying to solve a problem and dealing with it. And if I tell you, I put together a brilliant document that outlined what we should do, how we would get to $100 million, how wonderful $100 million would be with products that sold well for JCPenney, because if they were happy, the $100 million would grow to $125, $150, $200, and we'd have a business that would last the test of time. It was a brilliant document, if I do say so myself, and I went home thinking my career was over. I went to bed Friday night. I just was really not in good shape. I generally speak and get up early on Saturday mornings. It's Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. I'll never forget, I was in my office reading the document for the 10th time and asking myself, you know what I felt like? I had just seen Jerry Maguire. And I realized, here's a guy, brilliant agent, writes this treatise on what the future of the business was, and he wakes up one day after he distributes, he's out of work, fired, doesn't have a job. This is what I'm feeling. I wake up in the morning, I'm rereading the document for the 10th time, my phone rings. 8 o'clock in the morning. I got scared. Who is it? Larry Phillips here. That's how Larry Phillips would get on the phone. Hi, Mark. Larry Phillips here. Hi, Larry. How are you? He said, Mark, I have to tell you. After our meeting last night, I went home and I reread your document. And I must tell you, in all my years in this industry, I don't remember ever reading a more brilliantly crafted document. Now, did I like reading what I read? Did I like finding out our program with JCPenney was in disaster? No. But did I believe in everything that you wrote? Did I believe you crafted a plan for the future? Yes. And I want to compliment you. I got to tell you, Mark, I mean this. This is one of the greatest documents I've ever heard. I look forward to seeing you on Monday. We sit down and we talk about implementing it. Anyway, have a good weekend. Talk to you soon.
Was that his way of apologizing?
Yes. And if it wasn't apologizing, I assume the president sat down with him and said, Larry, Mark's not making this up. These are the facts. I think he gave us a good solution. We don't have to like what we're hearing. But he's the one who's going to deliver it, and he had the courage to come in and do it. So when you talk about rushing your life away, like we're doing right now, counting the days for this virus to end, I'm liking to look back because I rushed my life, as you have out there. I'm sure there are many cases. And I wanted to tell you that story.
Wait a sec. What happened?
Great question. So what did we do? My plan called for selling the products at the fair prices. If Macy's was to pay $7 for that flannel shirt, JCPenney was now going to pay $7 for that shirt. And instead of the shirt retailing at $25 without a price break, JCPenney would put it on the floor at $25 and let it run for a while and then mark it down and sell for $14.99. You multiply it by all the products that JCPenney bought from the company, and it was a wild success. Why? Because we treated them fairly and we allowed them to be competitive. The brand was great there. All these years later, Van Heusen is still in Macy's. Van Heusen is still at JCPenney. It's an important, focused brand at JCPenney. They do very, very well there. I don't know whether or not the people at Van Heusen would attribute their long-term business to JCPenney to any part and parcel to the story I just told you, and those of them who are listening, that's a good lesson, one I'll never forget. I think I'll tell that story again. But to make a long story short, tonight, I don't want to focus on the present. It's too depressing. We have plenty to cover. Everything we're doing is counting the days, and now more than ever, we're rushing to the future. I've rushed my career away. That's what I just talked about. I wanted to bring back and think about some of the happy times and the stories on how I became successful and things that I found interesting. I hope you did find that interesting. I'm going to take a break. We'll be back in a moment.
Always in fashion.
This is Mark Weber. I usually talk about Van Heusen, one of our title sponsors. I talk about the great products they make, products that make us feel good, make us feel comfortable, fit us well, allow us to approach life with confidence. At the moment, however, we're all living through a crisis the likes of which no one ever expected to see. But it's at a time like this that I'm most proud of my friends at Van Heusen and what they're doing. The chairman and CEO, Manny Chirico, is a member of the board on Montefiore Hospital. And in so doing that, he has put the company's efforts to work to try and help solve the problems of this crisis. Van Heusen, PVH, is donating 1.5 million masks that they're getting through their sourcing network to the hospitals around New York and the country, with 5 million masks to be backed up shortly. Their expertise at sourcing and global communications around the world puts them in a unique position to help. I'm particularly proud of the work they're doing right now to help Americans. This is what a great company is all about. It goes without saying that the products in the company are great, but what they're doing is even greater in this time of difficulty, and I want to personally thank them.
Welcome back to Always in Fashion. Here's your host, Mark Weber.
Still I
tonight's show, I'm talking about all the time I spent rushing to get to somewhere in my personal life, my professional life. I'm always becoming. Nothing was ever good enough or quick enough. But becoming was amazing and enjoyable. I look back now, all the time I spent waiting for the next thing, I'm sad. What to make me think about this? I have all this time to think. I'm thinking about how I'm rushing to September. I'm rushing to the end of the year because this virus coming to an end, finding a vaccine. So depressing. It got me thinking about all the time we rush. And I don't want to talk about the vaccine. I don't want to talk about that. I want to give you some relief. And I've started to think about how to do that. And I said, you know what? I want to think about the past. I want to think about happy times in business. I don't want to tell stories. Make your life easy. Just sit back, listen, maybe enjoy the story. Business stories, they're very often associated with my industry, retail, luxury, fashion, but they're applicable to so many of the things all of us do in our lives. One of the happiest periods in my life was I had a 10, maybe 15-year run in Asia. I went to Asia often. And when I went for a long time. I didn't go for a day. I went for weeks at a time. And I loved it. I didn't like it. I loved it. I became very, very comfortable. I spent a lot of time in Hong Kong. I loved it there. How do I explain Hong Kong? It's like New York in that it's on a harbor. And all the fine hotels overlook the water, and I always stayed at the Regent Hotel, one of the most beautiful hotels in the world, overlooking Hong Kong Harbor, watching the boats, the vessels of all sizes go by, whether you're in your room, whether you're in the restaurants, in the breakfast room, that river was always there. And if you were a jogger, as I was at the time, they had the whole pier where you could run a couple of miles back and forth constantly, and just, it was a wonderful time. Uncategorically, one of the greatest shopping places in the world, some of the greatest malls, some of the greatest shopping streets. I loved it there. And I also loved the fact that I was doing business. When I was very, very young, I wrote in my book, Always in Fashion, that once in my life was brilliant. The people, Chinese people were amazing. Entrepreneurs. In Hong Kong, they believed in generations. People didn't necessarily go public. They didn't sell their companies. They passed them from one generation to the next. And I dealt with those people. And I was impressed. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed everything about the culture. I went back and forth to China when I was younger than Jesse, on my own, all with the staff, and purchased and learned so much about them and the culture. I was there at the beginning, not too long after they first opened up. And they would love the idea that Westerners were bringing there entrepreneurialism, and their expertise to China. And we were encouraged, it was our culture, to teach them and show them how to produce in large quantities for the world with the quality that we learned how to develop. And the relationship there was extraordinary. I also learned to love Taiwan, Taipei in particular. During the Chinese Revolution, when Mao Zedong came in and communized the country, General Chiang Kai-shek, with his forces after losing the war, escaped to Formosa, set up the island of Taiwan as a government unto itself, filled with, of course, Chinese nationals, built a thriving economy in a Western format. Again, very modern, very intuitive, entrepreneurs, and I loved going to Taiwan too. I was comfortable there. But all these countries were Chinese origin, and I loved it. Now, a lot going on in the news. With the virus in China, I'm not holding them accountable. Let everybody else do. I'll only caution everybody once again. This is one of the greatest, biggest, important nuclear powers in the world, and we're better off being friends with them. If they made a mistake, talk to them about it. Do it offline, not public format, and find a way to have a solution. Having said that, that's not what I want to talk about. I can tell you I loved the culture. Anyway, I would go there and I would have a great time. I was a master of the universe. I was in charge of my destiny. I was operating on behalf of the company. I was negotiating huge, huge contracts. I was highly respected because I knew my stuff. I was always tough but fair, and I navigated my way through this 10, 15 years. It was a brilliant, brilliant happy time for me. But one of my favorite stories of all, which is what I'm doing tonight. I'm trying to have a good time. I don't want to think about the future. I don't want to rush to the future, as I've done my whole career, even though we're all rushing and counting the days till this virus is over. One of my favorite stories of all time is I was with a team in Asia of 10 people. We all had different functions. I was the boss. I was overseeing it all. But each one of those 10 people were traveling around Asia. And we agreed to meet for our final destination in Taiwan, where we had to finish and conclude our business. And I'll never forget this story. People coming from Korea, from Indonesia, from China, from Hong Kong, we all were meeting in Taiwan. And they were intensive. And we accomplished what we had to do. Now, as the story goes, we were staying in the China Grand, the Grand Hotel in Taipei. Amazing hotel. The swimming pool was the size of 2 Olympic-sized swimming pools. It's one of those places you go to, you never want to leave. It was really extraordinary. And that night, all 10 of us had dinner. And over dinner, we were talking about it's going to be a beautiful day Sunday in Taipei. And we had to go back to Hong Kong because we were meeting the president of the company for dinner that night because it was his birthday and he wanted to have a birthday dinner. And of course, we wanted to have a birthday dinner. But I'm sitting there on Saturday night, 10 people in this great hotel with this Olympic-sized swimming pool, with this beautiful setup of lounge chairs and the whole scene. You want to play tennis. It was one of the great places. And there we are. We're waking up early in the morning on Sunday to fly to Hong Kong to have dinner. And I started to think about it. And I said to myself, let me think about this. I'm the boss. Do I really want to fly in the middle of the day to Hong Kong for 4 hours to have dinner with the president of the company? Or do I want to hang out in this hotel, stay by the pool, and fly out in the evening? I don't want to give up the day. I made a decision. I made a decision that all 10 of us were going to skip his dinner and his birthday party.
I have a feeling this didn't end up well.
No. See, the president of the company was a close working friend of mine, and we respected each other, but I felt I had I was selfish. I wanted to hang out by the pool, and I thought it was only fair. So that night at dinner, I said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to the front of the hotel, and I'm going to find out if we can get 2 rooms and extend our rooms, one for the boys, one for the ladies. And what we're going to do is, if you want, we're going to stay by the pool all day, we're going to fly out at night, and we're going to skip the dinner. And if we're going to have a birthday dinner, we'll do it Monday night. I don't want to give up Sunday. I'm surprised back in Hong Kong where the president was, he didn't hear the cheering for me making that decision. Everyone was so excited, so happy. And after all, why not? Why give up a beautiful, perfect, sunny day when you don't have to?
And let's just be clear, this wasn't your birthday. This wasn't your decision.
I never said I was always smart, but I did have brass you-know-whats. I figured like this, he'll still have his birthday dinner, he'll just have it on Monday. Anyway, I sent him an email, and I told him we're all staying. We can't get back in time. I changed all the flights through the Hong Kong office, got the 2 hotel rooms. We all stayed by the pool all day. We all got our chance to change and take a shower. We took an evening flight, got there that evening. Next day, we show up to meet him for breakfast at 8 o'clock. Well, I think he was pissed. I wasn't. I had a great tan. I had a great day. He was kind of angry at me. I said, get over it. Everybody was happy. We'll have your dinner tonight. And anyway, to be perfectly honest, today is your birthday, not Sunday. So when I think about funny times and happy times and rushing my career, tonight I'm trying to enjoy myself and entertain you guys. I wouldn't recommend that to anyone else, but it was one of those fun times when I look back and I loved it. So with that in mind, here we are in the beginning of summer, beautiful weather out there. The world is a mess, but the weather is in fact beautiful. You too can go to that pool. You too can go to that beach. Social distance. Wash your hands. Don't go to the bar with crowded hundreds of people. And you too can have a great day or a great weekend and show up for work at home on Monday. With that, I'll take a break. I'll be back in a moment.
Always in fashion.
This is Mark Weber. We're living in strange times, but nonetheless, we all have to get dressed. Interestingly enough, we're dressing differently because we're working at home, and most people want to wear clothes that they're comfortable in. And having said that, I'm very excited to be affiliated with DKNY, both men's and women's, because they have some of the best activewear collections that you've ever seen. Now, this is not a time to be thinking about what's important in business. It's a time to be thinking about a lot of different things. We're all under the gun. We're under attack. But at the same time, we have to live our lives. We have to get up in the morning, brush our teeth, get dressed, feel good about ourselves. I can only tell you that DKNY right now has activewear that looks sensational. Now, the good news is as we dress up casually, we still are working from home. And working from home, you have to believe in the adage, you still have to look your best, particularly when you're having conference calls and video conferences with different people. Nobody's looking at what you're wearing in your pants, but wearing sweatpants from DKNY that are comfortable and look cool, great. More importantly, the tops let you look active, let you look comfortable, let you look fashionable, and you don't have to give up your style. DKNY activewear is incredible, as I say, both for men's and women's. And here's the best news of all. This virus will be behind us soon. We'll be back out there, making an impression, taking care of business, going through the activities of our lives. And on the casual side, whether we go to the gym, whether we go to sporting events, whether we go to our children's sporting events, we have to look the part. DKNY Activewear.
Welcome back to Always in Fashion. Here's your host, Mark Weber.
Wish I could reach your true distance. Show you my heart and all that I'm feeling. Lord, I can't preach, but I know something's missing. Nowhere to fly back to the beginning. So until we meet again, I'ma keep smile, 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 smiling. We could be miles apart, but you know I'm never too far, my friend, until we meet again.
This is Mark Weber, and I'm hurting. I'm missing normal, simpler times. Going out, taking a walk, driving my car, shopping, eating in a restaurant, going to my favorite bar, being in the city, avoiding you humans, but enjoying observing you, complaining about nothing, getting aggravated at stupid things, worrying about my outfits or my hair on that day or any other of the superficial things that don't matter. I miss being safe. I miss enjoying life. But I'm taking this time to think, to make the most out of every day while I count for a better future, those days that are coming. I'm trying, as you should, to be happy, to be bright, to see the end of the tunnel. In the meantime, I'm counting those days. And I miss those things that are important. Good night.
We could be miles apart, but you know I'm never too far, my friend, until we meet again. Miles apart, but you know I'm never too far.